We begin with an update on the controversy surrounding a racially charged incident on Sunday at the Present Day on Main Coffee Shop in Carrboro. Present Day is a black-owned business. The owners say they were hosting a private event when a woman who was white showed up uninvited to distribute campaign literature, refused to leave, got belligerent, and assaulted a black woman. Then the trespasser called police, and the owners say the police were more sympathetic to the trespasser than to the victim. That was from yesterday. We now have an initial response from Carrboro Police Chief Chris Atack. In a statement to 97.9 The Hill, Chief Atack said the suspect had already left by the time the officer arrived on scene. The alleged victim did not appear to be injured and did not claim to be injured, and the suspect and victim had differing accounts about what happened. Present Day owners said they were upset that the victim was told to go all the way to Hillsborough to file a police report, but Atack said that's standard procedure in a case like this. For now, Present Day on Main is closed, as owners say they're updating and amending their own safety protocols. At Tuesday's town council meeting, owners Sophie Superman and Soteria Shepperson said they were frustrated with the police response. Carrboro Mayor Damon Siles addressed that issue while speaking with 97.9 The Hill's Brighton McConnell.
It's distressing to hear about their experience, and you know, our key objective has to always be doing what we can to keep everyone in our community safe and feeling like this is a place where we all belong and all have a place to live and thrive. And so when we're not doing that, we know that we need to look into making it better for the next time. We do know that our town staff have been following up with the owners of the coffee shop to learn more about what happened, learn more about what they need, what they're experiencing and feeling right now. Certainly, I know that our police department leadership is committed to the same goals that we've been expressing on the council for a long time now, which is looking at what it means in the broad sense to think about community safety for everyone. And that means taking on questions about race and racism as they come up, taking those questions seriously and doing better every time that we do that.
That's Carrboro Mayor Damon Siles speaking there. That was part of the Conversations with the Mayor segment, and you can hear the full conversation at 4:30 this afternoon during News on the Hill. Other news, we're now less than 3 weeks away from the start of early voting with several key primaries locally and statewide, most notably the Republican and Democratic primaries in the race to succeed Richard Burr in the U.S. Senate. On that front, Democrat Sherry Beasley leads the fundraising battle with $3.6 million raised in the last quarter, though GOP donations have been split among several high-profile candidates. On campus, UNC announced this week that it has ended the Carolina Together dashboard, which had been updating campus-specific COVID-19 metrics on a daily basis throughout the year. The site now instead links to the dashboards from the CDC at North Carolina and Orange County. We'll have Orange County Health Director Quintana Stewart, by the way, on the air with us today at 7:30. We'll talk about that development on campus, plus get the latest on COVID-19 and a variety of perspectives. That's coming up in a little bit more than an hour. Meanwhile, the News and Observer reports the UNC System Board of Governors has adopted a new model for funding universities based on performance rather than enrollment. Supporters say the old system incentivized colleges to increase enrollment but not to improve student outcomes. The new system will fund campuses based on metrics like graduation rates. Staying on campus, big news for UNC's Hussman School of Journalism and Media, which dedicated its new building earlier this week, the Curtis Media Center, which includes a broadcast studio, podcast studio, and makerspace. 97.9 The Hill's Ava Pukach was able to get a closer look.
The new building comes from a $10 million gift from the Curtis Foundation to UNC in 2018. The Media Center, named after North Carolina media mogul Don Curtis, has been under construction since before the coronavirus pandemic. It's the first new building near Polk Place in more than a decade. In the former site of what was the old Phillips Annex building stands the three-story and nearly 13,000-square-foot Curtis Media Center with large glass windows. Through the first-floor windows, the new broadcast studio, supporting the school production's Carolina Week and Sports Extra, is visible. A 16-by-9-foot LED screen broadcasts a replay of Carolina basketball's win over Duke as passersby stop and peer into the windows to watch. Charlie Tuggle, Associate Dean of the Hussman School of Journalism and Media, said the glass-windowed wall plays to the openness and transparency of journalism. The previous broadcast studio is tucked away in Carroll Hall.
Because this is the main thoroughfare, Carolina Way, to go from campus up to Franklin Street, thousands of students will come by here. They'll pause and they'll watch the big screen. It's like, hey, I didn't know they did that here. We're already the second largest major on campus. Not that we're pushing to be number one, but I think this will add to the allure of our school.
The second floor of the building is home of a new glass-walled podcast studio. The ground floor will be home to a makerspace for students in experimental marketing classes. Not only will journalism students be able to use those resources, but university programming will also be able to use the Media Center for larger events. Tuggle said the building is wired by fiber to the rest of campus, including athletic venues and Memorial Hall.
So any big-time entertainers who come in, we're setting up to do green room interviews with them prior to their performance. We can broadcast the performance. Anything that happens on this campus, we can now broadcast live anywhere without one of the big production trucks having to come up. So this frees up a lot of, opens up a lot of possibilities for the entire university.
While the center is suited up with new technology to support student programming, it's also a green building with solar panels on the roof.
The student group that decides how student fees are used, they wanted to support that. So students paid for the solar panels on the roof, and we will generate enough electricity back into the grid that we offset our usage in this building. And that's the first building on campus that is neutral in that way.
Tuggle said the school aims to have a few classes held in the Curtis Media Center during the second summer semester, with full use during the fall. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Ava Pukach.
Speaking of new buildings, Orange County got its new detention center up and running this week, transferring 70 inmates on Tuesday in the space of just a few hours. The previous detention center was nearly 100 years old. It had been built to house 34 inmates, but was being used to house twice that many. The new building along Route 70 can house 144 inmates. Officials broke ground on it in 2019. And speaking of new things, Chapel Hill Transit will be unveiling their first electric buses today at an event that was originally scheduled for January but got postponed amidst the Omicron wave. Congressman David Price will be on hand along with Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger and Carrboro Mayor Damon Siles. Chapel Hill Transit was also in the news for a different reason this week. The Chapel Hill Town Council voted on Wednesday to rename the Chapel Hill Transit facility in honor of Howard and Lillian Lee. In Raleigh, North Carolina, state veterinarian says all poultry shows and public poultry sales are being suspended until further notice because of a nationwide outbreak of avian flu. North Carolina is now one of several states to take that step. And finally, in education news, Phillips Middle School officially has a new principal, sort of, Tiffany Cheshire. She's already been serving as interim principal there since October, but this week the Chapel Hill Carrboro School Board voted to make that position permanent. Time now for sports, brought to you this hour by CIMG Residential Mortgage. Saturday is the day for UNC's annual spring football game. First look at the 2022 Tar Heels for fans. It's also the first official action for Carolina's incoming recruiting class, including a highly touted recruit, five-star defensive tackle Travis Shaw. Here's head coach Mack Brown talking about Shaw earlier this week.
He is so big. I mean, he is, when you put him on the centers, he's just hard to block. And then he was a basketball player, could dunk a basketball. So he's so athletic. When he hurt his shoulder, he got too big. So he's fighting to lose some weight. But he is just, when you put him in the middle, we were talking today, you have to have two people to block him. One guy's not going to block him. And that then releases your linebackers quicker or gets some other people free. So he is what you always look like to be that nose tackle. And got a lot to learn, just like Zach Rice. They're both tremendous young players. Neither one of them are ready to go right now for long periods of time, but they both are great signees, and I can't wait to watch them play.
That's head coach Mack Brown there. Tomorrow's spring game gets underway at 3 p.m. in Keenan Stadium, free and open to everyone. Afterwards, tune in to 97.9 The Hill. We're going to have a special football edition of Inside Carolina Live from 6 to 8 p.m., broadcasting on location from Stadium Drive. That's the Inside Carolina Live spring game show this Saturday from 6 to 8 right here on 97.9 The Hill. Of course, always streaming on chapelburger.com as well. Down to Georgia now, where UNC junior golfer Austin Greaser is currently tied for 43rd in the Masters after shooting a 2 over 74 in the first round yesterday. He's 6 shots behind the leaders. Greaser made the tournament by virtue of reaching the finals of the U.S. Amateur last year. Back in Chapel Hill, a big honor for a Tar Heel gymnast. Freshman Julia Noer has been named Region 6 Gymnast of the Year by the Women's Collegiate Gymnastics Association. Noer won 10 events at various meets this season, including 4 all-around titles. On the court, some advance praise for UNC women's basketball after a breakthrough season that ended with a run to the Sweet 16. ESPN has ranked Carolina number 11 in the nation in their way too early top 25 for next year, second in the ACC behind only number 9 Notre Dame. Carolina will have at least 4 starters coming back, plus a strong recruiting class and highly touted freshmen Tiani Key and Kayla McPherson, both back from injuries that kept them out all last year. UNC men's basketball also got a big honor this week. The town of Chapel Hill issued a proclamation declaring yesterday as a day of recognition for the team in honor of their run to the NCAA title game. Mayor Pam Heminger had this to say on 97.9 The Hill yesterday.
What an incredible, exciting, and emotional journey. We're so proud of this basketball team, Coach Davis, everyone that participated. It brought the community together. The celebrations were all positive. Even the large number of folks rushing the street were in a positive attitude, high-fiving our public safety officers and firemen. It's just been an incredible, uplifting season. It was sad that they lost, but it was also, we were just so proud of them. They did so well, and we made a day of recognition. So I think people really still are recovering.
Back to the rushing of Franklin Street, that seemed like it was a bigger celebration than normal and a longer celebration than normal. 35,000 to 40,000 people expected. But the good news, I think, for some folks too, Pam, is that there were not very many injuries reported. And despite it being late into the night, things went relatively smoothly.
Yeah, they did. Kudos to our team that coordinates all this and brings in the extra help. And they want people to celebrate. They just want them to be safe. We really don't want the bonfires and the fireworks, because that's how people get injured. But the mood was wonderful. People were excited, and it's been so long since we've been able to come together to celebrate. And the merchants downtown were thrilled to have all the people there. But what a joyous celebration, and we're just very, very grateful that there were very few injuries. And the goal is to have no injuries, so we'll get there. We'll get there.
That's Mayor Pam Heminger speaking there. Following the success of the men's and women's basketball teams, plus numerous other winter sports, Carolina's now up to 7th place in this year's Learfield Director's Cup standings, measuring the overall success of college athletics programs. On the calendar this weekend, UNC baseball is in Louisville for a 3-game series starting tonight at 6. We'll have that game for you right here on 97.9 The Hill. UNC softball is also at Louisville this weekend. Game 1 also tonight at 6. UNC women's tennis is hosting Clemson today at 3. They also host Georgia Tech on Sunday. And tomorrow is a big day for UNC lacrosse, with the women at Syracuse at 2 p.m. and the men taking on 7th-ranked Virginia at 4. In baseball, Jim Haley hit 2 homers as the Durham Bulls beat the Nashville Sounds last night 6-3. Their series at Nashville continues tonight at 7:35. And the Carolina Hurricanes officially clinched a playoff spot last night with a 5-3 win over Buffalo. Canes are back in action tonight at 7, hosting the Islanders.